The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It's so nice to know truth. The Bible says in Psalm 146, starting at verse 3, it says, put not your trust in princes, neither in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth, he returns unto his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob as his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which maketh heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth for ever. It's a long time since those words were written, but I thank God that we still have that word of God, and I thank God that his truth is as relevant today as it was way back then. I read a statement, and this statement was in a little book called Education, page 100. And this paragraph started me on a journey. And the end of that journey, or I don't even know if it's right at its end yet, but the result of that journey is what I'm going to share with you today. And this is even more pertinent for me, who used to be a psychiatric nurse. And as a lady said to me one day, why don't you nurse as a psychiatric nurse anymore? I said, because I didn't see it work. But I see God's principles work. The same law or the same power that upholds nature is working also in man. The same great laws that guide alike star and atom control human life. The laws that govern the action of the heart, regulating the current of flow to the body, are the laws of the mighty intelligence that has jurisdiction of the soul. From him all life proceeds. Only in harmony with him can be found its true sphere of action. To all objects of his creation, the conditions are the same. A life exercised in harmony with the Creator's will, a life sustained by receiving life from the Creator. To transgress his law, whether it be physical or mental or moral, is to place oneself out of harmony with the universe, to invite discord, anarchy, and ruin. Majestic words. But look at those three laws. To transgress his law, whether it be physical, we've been looking at physical law all week. We've looked at the basic laws of health, basic physical laws. What is the moral law? The dictionary calls the Ten Commandments the great moral code of ethics. But what are the mental laws? The mental laws I was not aware of when I first read this, maybe 20 years ago. What are the mental laws? I was immediately intrigued because this statement says that if you adhere to physical, moral, mental law, it brings harmony. Now I hesitate to drive in your cars because I'm used to driving on the other side of the road. We're not going to have a debate about which one is right or wrong, but it certainly is wrong in this country. So if I do drive, the whole time I'm saying, stay to the right, stay to the right. And if I go off in La La Land, you know, La La Land, where our mind goes off and we go into automatic, that's when trouble may happen. I may veer onto the side of the road that I'm used to. And we're going to be looking at habit pathways and habit patterns in this presentation as we look at how you can rewire the brain. So what were these mental laws? So I began on a journey of discovery. What were these mental laws? Because if this statement was correct, and I believe absolutely it is, because adherence to law brings harmony, broken law brings disharmony. And as this statement said, is to transgress his law, whether it be physical, mental or moral, is to place oneself out of harmony with the universe, to invite discord, anarchy and ruin. It also brought me to a verse in the Bible found in Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 26, where God gave messages to Moses to give the children of Israel. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandment. Keep all of his statutes. Notice there's two hears and there's two do's. No wonder it says in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own hearts. Not enough to hear. So if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, do that which is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all of these statutes, look at the promise. God says, then I will put none of these diseases upon thee that I put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise God, he is the Lord that healeth thee. Did he bring disease upon the Egyptians? No, the first part of the verse says not. I'd like to suggest that the first part of the verse says it's because they did not keep his commandments, keep his statutes, keep his laws. And education page 100 talks about three of them. It talks about physical law. It talks about moral law. That moral code of ethics, the Ten Commandments, our constitution's built on that. But what are the mental laws? Because this verse implies that the healing comes from adherence to law. So let us have a look at these mental laws. The first mental law is Newton's third law of motion. To every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction, which is the law of cause and effect. Effect follows cause with unvarying degree all through nature, in every part of our life. And never should the effect be blamed as the cause, and unfortunately it often is. One girl said, I get panic attacks. Do you know you can't just get a panic attack? That defies reason, defies Newton's third law of motion. And basically, it's God's law of motion. It's found in Proverbs 26, verse 2. It says, the curse causeless shall not come. No problem happens without a cause. There is always a cause. That's why we should each be private investigators, investigating why these things are so. So I said to the girl that said she gets panic attacks, I said, when did you get your first panic attack? Looking at history is important. Well, she said, I blew the whistle at work on a guy who was doing wrong. That night I got a brick through my front window. Whew! There's a time to panic. Ecclesiastes 3. Beautiful section. It says, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to build up, a time to break down, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. And when that brick went through her front window and she panicked, that's an appropriate reaction. In fact, if she didn't run out the back door, another brick might have come and hit her on the head. Yep. So that was an appropriate reaction. But the problem is now, it's 5 years later and she's still panicking. And reason, intellect and judgment, it declare, that's over. I said, do you still live in the same house? No. Is the man still around? Long gone. So what does this declare? No need to panic. So why is she still panicking? That night, when that brick came through that front window, it had a profound effect on her. And it grew a strong pathway in her brain. Let me show you the pathway. This is our nerve cell. These are the receiving stations on the nerve cell. And isn't it wonderful when God is the center of our nerve cell? Out of the nerve cell comes the arm, and here's the fatty sheath. We've talked about the importance of having some fat in the diet to maintain that nice fatty sheath in the nerve cell. When that brick went through her front window, strong pathway. The science now shows that it has a pathway in the brain. This is an actual physical pathway. So the next time something stressful happened, her emotions went down that pathway. And the next time something stressful happened, It went down that pathway. What's happening every time she goes down the pathway? So when I went on the pine tree trail this morning, I came to the conclusion not many people go on that trail. Why? It's a bit overgrown. My socks got full of of little seeds. The more we go on that, in fact, if every single person went on that pathway this afternoon, it would get wider, isn't that right? And it's the same, these pathways in our brain. She was not liking what was happening in her life. She was only in her late 20s. Her mother said, you better go and have this checked out. She went and saw a psychologist. The psychologist said, I found the cause of all your problems. You get panic attacks. What did that do to the pathway? Made it a little bit stronger. And he made another pathway. He said, you'll be on panic attack medication for the rest of your life. It's only a faint pathway at the moment. And her mother said, what did he say? He said, I get panic attacks. Here we go. He said, I'll be on panic attack medication for the rest of my life. So she came to our retreat and she told me her story. And I decided to make another pathway. I said, I believe that you will overcome your panic attacks. What did I do then? I started a pathway, but it's still very light. I believe eventually you'll be able to get off your medication. Do you think she liked those suggestions? She's 33 now. What's the future like? Is it more medication every year? Will it get to the point where she can't even drive? So I gave her a prescription of what to do when the lightning strikes. I don't like the word panic. It almost makes you panic, doesn't it? You see, what this girl didn't realize is that panic was the result of emotions, thoughts and feelings. And she did not realize what was happening in her brain, but every time the feelings came, her brain said to her, here comes the panic. And guess what would happen? Would come. I explained this to her. I explained her limbic system, her emotional brain. I explained the prefrontal cortex. I explained how that's our board of senses. So I said, next time the feelings come, you actually have a choice. And that's the second mental law of the mind is the law of choice. I said, at that point, you can make a decision. I'm not going to panic. She said, that will be very hard. I said, it'll be very hard. But I said, I'm going to give you a few things you can do. I said, laugh. She said, I will not feel like laughing. I said, you're absolutely right. But you can laugh. I'm about to tell you something that sounds flippant, but it's a physical, psychological fact. Fake it till you make it. Because when you fake it, you're actually going down that you'll be able to laugh. I made another pathway, you'll be able to laugh. Have you heard of the Australian kookaburra? There's a song about it. Kookaburra sits on the old gum tree, merry, merry king of the bush is he. Laugh, kookaburra, because there... their laugh sounds like their song sounds like a laugh. Something like that. I won't do it. But if you Google kookaburra, you'll hear their laugh. I said, just go ho, 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 ho. Fake it till you make it. And often when you start faking it, you can have a little giggle because it sounds so silly. I said, as you're going ho, 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 put the kettle on, the electric kettle. Get a crystal of Celtic salt. In those little crystals of the Celtic salt, there are minerals. And when you put them in your mouth and crush them with your teeth, those mineral gases are released and there's three magnesiums that relax the muscles. And have some water. Have a glass of water after the salt. Water. Our brain is a hydroelectric system. It loves water. It needs water for the electricity from cell to cell. When the kettle's boiled, get a cup down. Get a chamomile tea bag. Can you see what else she's doing through all of this? And this takes us to the seventh law, which we will get to. It's the law of diversion. She's diverting herself away. Everything in her body is screaming at her, panic! But you know what she's decided to do? No. Her emotions are screaming at her, panic. No. And then breathe very deeply. Through the nose and in and out of the nose. Five seconds in. Hold for 3. 5 seconds out. God's LSD. Long, slow, deep. That stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, and your parasympathetic nervous system is your peaceful, calming system. You can use breath and the way you breathe to bring calm. So by the time she got her chamomile tea and went outside, her panic had calmed down. I said, now maybe jump on the rebounder and jump, jump, jump. Haven't got a rebounder. Run around the house 3 times. Can't run. Push-ups. Mm-mm-mm. You can do the physical things to divert from the panic. I gave birth to 6 babies. I went through labor 6 times, and I know very well when you get a contraction, it comes to its peak, but you know what? Very, very soon it's going to ease. And that's how you can do natural birth. It's going to ease. And then sometimes you get a good 30 seconds to breathe deeply, ready for the next one. It's like riding a wave. You go with it. She panicked. She conquered her panic attacks. And the first panic attack she conquered, how did she feel? Like a mighty conqueror. Psalm 16 verse 7 says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Here are the reins. These are the reins. Her limbic system was saying, scream, panic. But her reins were going, no, I'll hold it in. But the first conquering panic attack, what's still the strong pathway? That's our habit pathway. And so we need to strengthen the prefrontal cortex by having sunshine every day, adequate water, going to bed early every night, trusting in God, trusting that He can do it. Let me tell you about my grandson, Lennox. We're walking along the side of the creek. It's a bit rocky. The water's there. It's a little unstable, and he holds onto my hand. He's 3. And the minute he holds my hand, he transforms. He's now invincible. In fact, he leans over the creek. I'm holding on. I'm not as strong as his father. His father's built like this. What changed Lennox? He held my hand. The psalm that I shared with the children. He will hold your hand. He will keep thee. Hold on to him. Stop anything that could interfere with the proper working of the prefrontal cortex. Refined sugar causes a fuel imbalance, gets the blood sugar level up high, and then it drops, high, drops again. When it's high, prefrontal cortex is bypassed. When it drops, prefrontal cortex can't even function. The caffeine disrupts the neurotransmitters in the brain, those little transmitters that jump from cell to cell. Keep away from the stimulants. They might give you a lift, but they'll give you a corresponding dump that is lower than when you first started. If you're a coffee drinker, please don't stop. Ease off it. Ease off it, or you'll get bad headaches because of the disruption in the neurotransmitters in the brain. When you breathe through your nose and breathe out through your nose, your 1 trillion brain cells will get 18 times more energy. Give the brain nutrition, fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, whole grains. Take it in moderation. Exercise increases the circulation of the blood to the brain, more blood to the brain, more oxygen because you're breathing through your nose. It's a real challenge when you're going up that hill, but I have trained myself so I can do it now. If you haven't trained yourself to do it, you can have a little out of your mouth every now and then. In and out through the nose. Then you will strengthen your prefrontal cortex. How long does it take before the new pathway is stronger than the old pathway? 21 days. In 21 days, the new pathway is stronger than the old. In 21 days, that old pathway has shrunk. In 21 days, it's become, the new pathway is more solid than the old one, but it takes 60 days before it's in cement. 60. And that's why I can recite these Bible verses to you this morning, because they're in cement. No, I don't have a good memory. I'm still trying to get everyone's name just right. But I've worked at it. Oh, how I love the violinist and the flutist and the pianist. But they didn't pick up those instruments yesterday. Is that right? Over and over and over. Same with memorizing, putting it in the brain. I have seen many conquer their panic attacks. Isn't that good news? I don't know anyone that likes them. The first step, implement the physical laws. Then the prefrontal cortex is stronger. Surrender. Surrender it to the Creator. Surrender it to the one that made it. He knows us. The Bible says He knows how many hairs are on our heads. I had 6 babies. Oh, how I love babies. I'd gaze into their eyes. But I could never count their hair. We have a God that loves us even more than that. He's bound to our heart. To His heart. Bound. In fact, for the people on planet Earth that don't surrender to Him, there is a hole in His heart for eternity. Only you can fill that hole in His heart. There's a hole for you in His heart. What a beautiful thought. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what stage that you're at, you know what He says today? Come. Come. Come unto Me. He says, I'll give you rest. I've seen many conquer their panic attacks. It's hard work. At first it's hard work. What about depression? Depression is not a cause, it's an effect. So what causes depression? Dr. Neil Nedley, in his book Depression, A Way Out, he says, genetics cannot cause depression. Isn't that good news? Even though both our parents may have committed suicide, we need never go there. And how many go there because they think they're going to go there? Proverbs 23:7 states that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we have more control over our thoughts than we think we do. If those negative thoughts come in, that's where there's a little tunnel in your brain that can go in one ear and out the other. Is that right? Yes. Don't take it on. We have a choice. At every step, we have a choice. I am the master of my destiny. Our choices determine our destiny. But God desires us to make our choices according to reason, intellect, and judgment. And if this girl, after I'd explained these things, said, nah, I'm not interested, you know what I say? Okay. I respect her choice. I'm sorry. Because I've seen so many here. But I've actually never had anyone say that. Because it appeals to our reason, intellect, and judgment. I don't know anyone that likes being on medication. Did she come off her medication straight away? No, she did not. She implemented this. She began to work with this. As she implemented this, her prefrontal cortex became stronger. Her emotions were more under control. She began to ease off the medication. And eventually, she was off the medication. Dr. Neil Nedley says, genetics cannot cause depression. Praise God. Genetics may load the gun, but it is lifestyle that pulls the trigger. Again, it's back to me. I'm the master of my destiny. He also states that lifestyle tragedy cannot cause depression, and every heart has its sorrow. Everyone has suffered in some way. And God only knows the suffering each one of us have been through. The night I sat in bed with my very sick son, there was a storm raging and we couldn't leave the home. And he was in severe breathing distress. And I battled to save his life. And then I surrendered to God. Surrendered my son to God. I thought I was giving up to die, but I could fight no longer. And I fell asleep. And I woke in the morning and I quickly looked at my son thinking he'd be dead because I'd given him up. But you know, I gave him up to the healer. Oh, our silly humanity. I can't fight for the life of my child. But oh, us mothers do, don't we? He had no breathing distress. What did God want from me? Surrender. No man on planet Earth, no woman on planet Earth knows the struggles I had that night. It was probably 15 years later that I ever shared with anyone what I went through that night. But God knew. God knew. He knows. He knows everything. In the little book, Steps to Christ, it says, keep your wants, your cares, your fears, your sorrows, your joys before God. You cannot burden him. You cannot weary him. He who numbers the hairs of your head is not indifferent to the wants of his children. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Take to him anything that perplexes the mind. Nothing is too great for him to bear. He holds up worlds. He rules over the affairs of the universe. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for him to notice. No chapter in our experience is too dark that he cannot read. I have some dark chapters, some very dark chapters. No chapter is too dark that he cannot read. No perplexity too difficult that he cannot unravel. No joy, cheer, no sincere prayer escape the lips of which our Heavenly Father is unmindful or takes no immediate notice. Did you hear that? Immediate notice. The relationship that exists between God and the soul is as clear and succinct as if there was not another soul on planet Earth to share his watch key. Not another soul for whom he gave his beloved son to die. What an incredible paragraph. Page 100 of the little book, Steps to Christ. And I'm sure there are a few floating around because it's such a tiny little book, but so power-packed. When I read that, I had to memorize that. Oh. And how many people have I shared it with who've been in sorrow? Lifestyle tragedy cannot cause depression. It's not what happens to you, it's what you do with it. But Dr. Neil Nedley has a whole lot of hits, little hits that take the person down. Lack of sunshine, lack of water, dehydration, lack of sleep, that's huge. In his book, Why We Sleep, Dr. Matthew Walker, he says, Six hours sleep for 10 nights, 50% less cognitive performance. And when you have 6 hours sleep a night, you feel okay, don't you? It's a great deception. This morning we talked about the deceiver. The deceiver who deceives people into thinking they don't need much sleep. It's a huge deception. Dr. Matthew Walker, he came to some conclusions, and he didn't want to come to these conclusions, but he was forced to because of the evidence. 8 hours, got that? 8 hours every night. If you're only getting 5, I've got some good news. You can rewire your brain and change your brain. Not overnight. You might not sleep 8 tonight, but you're getting there. It's like the girl that conquered her panic attack. She didn't conquer them straight away, but she began the process. And little by little, she conquered them. It's as simple as this. If you say you can, you will. If you say you can't, you're right, you won't. So if you can't sleep, never say that. Never. What do you say? I'm trying. Where there's a will, there's a way. Trusting God, the great deceiver, wants us to think that God doesn't care, that what we've done in our past is, it stops us from coming to Him. Remember what that little paragraph said? No chapter in our experience is too dark that He cannot read. He's the answer. He's the remedy. He's the solution. Just come. He can clean up the past. You know, He covers it with something red, and it becomes as white as snow. In Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." That white snow is blinding. It's so white. Just come to Him. Stop anything that can inhibit prefrontal cortex function. Start breathing in through the nose. Dr. Neil Nedley says lack of sleep, lack of trust in God, too many stimulants. It's a deception. That refined sugar causes a fuel imbalance. That caffeine causes a chemical imbalance. And our brain runs according to precision balance. There's quite a few hits in there. Abstain one. Breathe through your mouth. And get so much more. It's a deception. Because you can have lots of oxygen floating around your blood, but it can't get into the cell unless you've got adequate carbon dioxide. And the nose balances the blood gases. Nutrition, just go for the fast food. It's all right. Won't hurt you. Isn't it a deception? You deserve it. You've been so busy, just grab something on the way home. Deception. You can eat as much as you want. It's a deception. Exercise. I've got no time for that. I exercised when I was young. That's enough. It's a deception. Can you see the deceiver wants to take you down? In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Be sober. Be vigilant. Did you know when you overeat, you can produce alcohol? Did you know when you're dehydrated, the brain is almost like a drunk brain? Be sober. That's how we remain sober. Be sober. Be vigilant, knowing that your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeing whom he can devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're in the same boat. That's what we say in Australia. We're on the same boat. God gave us each other. And it's lovely to see the friendships between guests, to see the friendships developed between guests and staff. We're in this together, right? We're there to help each other. Dr. Neil Nedley says there's 100 things that cause depression. All of these hits can take you down. So the first place you start is remedy them. Implement them. Get the prefrontal cortex working better. And when it works better, we can put our detective hat on and find out, now how do we get to this? Well, the person may say, "I was sexually abused as a child." Okay, there's no need to bring past. I'm not interested in digging up dead things. Is that right? See, there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. Time to heal. So what we do then is we talk with the person. "I'm so sorry this happened to you. Have you forgiven your abuser?" And the first response usually is, "They don't deserve to be forgiven." And my response to that is, "You're absolutely right, but it's got nothing to do with it." You know what the Bible says to the abused? It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, "It's impossible, but these offences will come." Why? Because God gave mankind choice, and sometimes man or woman will choose wrong, and an innocent suffers. He says it's impossible, but these offences will come. But woe to him by whom they come. It will be better that a millstone was hung around his neck, him thrown into the deepest sea, than him touch one of my little ones. You are God's little one. The Bible says, he that touches of you touches the apple of my eye. So watch out. Leave it. Give it to God. But, and God says in the Bible, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Leave it with him, he'll do a better job. Just leave it there. How do we leave it there? Through forgiveness. And if you wait to feel like it, I can tell you now, you'll never do it. Because that limbic system will hold you back. Just do it. Just do it. It's like the young 14-year-old girl, when I was talking to her about it, she's bitter, she's angry, her father had touched her. Surely the worst case of betrayal. The trust of a father to go further and touch his daughter. Between 6 and 9 years of age, she's angry, she's bitter. I worked with her for 2 hours. Whew, took a while. Prefrontal cortex is only half developed. Eventually she looked at me and said, all right, I forgive. Some people might say, did she really mean it? How could she possibly feel like it? So when she said, all right, I forgive, I jumped up, smiled, shook her hands and said, congratulations. You have just made a momentous decision that is going to affect the rest of your life. Well done. How did she feel when I said that? Starting to feel a little better. That afternoon, she said, I'm feeling better about it. I said, you are experiencing the third law of the mind. And the third mental law of the mind states that our words affect our feelings. Just do it. Because after you've done it, you'll feel it. That's how it works. You might not feel it the next moment. You might not even feel it the next day. But it's a law of the mind that our words affect our feelings. Wait till you feel like it. You'll never do it. There were a group of survivors from Auschwitz. Got together 40 years later. One of them said to another one, have you forgiven your abusers? And he said, I will never. And so the man that asked the question says, well, you're still in jail. You're still in prison. He's still got a hold on you. You see, when you forgive, you cut the chains that bind you to painful past. Forgiveness gives you wings. It gives you freedom. I read this in an old book. Forgiveness is the only prescription in the entire universe that has the power to break the chemical bonds of hostility, anger, and hate. What are those chemical bonds? Those chemical bonds. And Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she shows this in her book, Who Switched Off My Brain? When you entertain or cherish negativity, thorns grow. Thorns grow that can actually damage the tissues. There's your psychosomatic diseases. She shows that when a negative thought comes in, it wafts through the brain like a breeze going through the branches of a tree, and we can hold on and it'll take root, or we can let it go. There's the in one ear and out the other. Forgiveness is a powerful emotion, and it has the potential to free us. But it starts with the choice. And the choice to forgive happens here. I've seen many freed from physical ailments through forgiveness. And remember, you'll get better at it. Love is also a choice. And that's why God says, come unto me. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, he says, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And in Job 22, verse 21, it says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Become acquainted with him. When you read the stories of Jesus, and there's a book called The Desire of Ages, the whole book's on the stories of Jesus. The authors looked at Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Also looked historically and pulled it all together. And when you read that book, you'll fall in love with the Saviour. You fall in love with this amazing God who surrendered himself under death for you and me and rose again. He rose again, showing us that he has power over life and death. And if he rose again, do you know what that means? He can rise us again. Praise God for that. That's what it says in John. The day will come when the dead in the graves will hear his voice and rise. I think there'll be many mothers going to the graves of their babies. When in it's in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's around 3:16, it says, and the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. That was a great shout we did this morning when we sang. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, how I loved learning this. Because at 25, my mother died. And I thought she was floating around watching me. And when I discovered that when we die, we sleep. Remember the verse 146, verse 3? Put not your trust in princes, neither in the Son of Man, in whom there is no health. No help. His breath goes forth when he dies. He returns unto his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. It's a Bible doctrine. When we die, we sleep, and when Jesus comes again. What a lovely doctrine. I used to think Mum was floating around watching me, and when things went wrong, I used to think, this must be upsetting Mum. Ah, no, no, no. What a beautiful thing to know that my Mum sleeps. She sleeps in the dust. And oh, I look forward to that day when that mighty voice that can wake the dead and the dead in Christ shall rise. Beautiful day. And then you will fall in love with the Saviour. Love is a choice. At every point, it is a choice. The choice to love is made in the prefrontal cortex. Our words affect our feelings. So when in 2007, Michael O'Neill came into my house and said, excuse me, Barbara, I've been thinking about things and I think you and I should get married. This was a big shock to me. I'd known Michael for 10 years. I'd been a single mother for 4. He'd been a single father. We had children. I said, this is very analytical. He said, I'm a very analytical person. I said, I think when two people marry, they should love each other. And he sort of scratched his jaw and looked down and he said, I'm very attracted to you and I love your character. And when he said that to me, I thought, isn't this is amazing. I very much like Michael O'Neill. I'm very much attracted to that man and I love his character. I just thought you can't get near him with a 10-foot pole. And here he is asking me to marry him. So I said, all right, I will. He said, great, meet me tonight at my house with all the kids. The kids. Here are the kids. Mine 10, his 11, mine 12, his 13, mine 14, mine 16, mine 18, mine 21, something like that. You know, we met together in his house and he sat down. He said, well, children, and we've got an announcement to make. And his daughter said, Dad, we already know. He said, right, now what does everyone think? You know, every one of those 8 children agreed. I thought that was the first miracle. I was a single mother for 4 years and sometimes people, you know, men would get friendly with me and I remember one day my little boy, he got up between us and said, if you marry my mum, I'm not going to be the flower boy. Do you know, these little boys, they're very protective of their mother. Michael showed great respect to my children by not coming near me, by not touching me, till the decision had been made. And 24 hours later, he walked past my window and my heart began to beat and I thought, what's that? Oh, that's right, I'm marrying him. That's where I experienced the law that your words affect your feelings. It was not hard to fall in love with this man I'd always admired. I did not have to hold the floodgates back. We've been married 25 years now. And I very much love my husband, and I know that when you fall in love with character. I think I've married the strongest man on the planet. His muscles aren't that big. My first husband was very muscly and very tall, but I think he was the weakest man on the planet that he touched his daughters. But I'm married to a man who's never raised his voice to me. He has never got angry with me. I've never seen him angry with anyone. I'm married to a man who takes the fourth law seriously, and that is that our words reveal our feelings and we cannot let them all out. In fact, I've watched him. We had a girl who was going to be the cook, and then we heard that she'd taken a bite out of the pineapple and then juiced the pineapple. We heard that she was cleaning out her braces and then picked up the cutlery to set the table. Ooh, she didn't have the basics. So at the end of the day, my husband went to her and said, look, it's really not working, so we'd like you to leave tomorrow. Would you like me to help you pack? Well, why? Oh, it's just not working. Now, where would you like it? He just says it, and then it happens. In fact, while board meetings are happening, Michael's already done it. And that's the one thing I always liked about him, is that he's an action man. He's a politician now. He started the political party, Informed Medical Options Party. And he was being interviewed by a journalist, and the journalist said, you're called the nicest man in politics. You know why? He never gets angry. He never raises his voice, but he's strong. He's strong. And isn't that what God wants? In that little book, Education, page 58, it says, the greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. How many politicians will be bought and sold? Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost soul are honest and true. Men who do not fear to call wrong by its right name. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Men who will be as true to conscience as the needle to the pole. The only man that can do that, the only woman that can do that, is the one that surrenders totally. The prefrontal cortex allows the God of heaven to come in. And the reading that was given this morning, where God said, I will take away your stone of heart and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and you will do them. And last night we looked at Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, I will pray the Father and he will send another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth. This is John chapter 14. Whom the world cannot receive, it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have spoken unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. How's that? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. How beautiful are those promises. And I know that I live with a man, and on our honeymoon, when we woke up in the morning, I immediately prayed, and my husband was at the other side of the bed on the floor praying too. Praise be to God. And that's where you'll still find both of us early in the morning. That's his secret. because he's just a man. But he's locked on to something that makes a person. He adheres to these laws. His wife makes it easy for him. I exercised for 3 years before he joined me. Ladies, never nag, because it never does any good. And I think I can hear the men saying, amen, sister. Our words affect our feelings, so be careful on our words. They affect our feelings and they affect the feelings of all around. Our words reveal the feelings and we've got to deal with it here. There was war in heaven. Do you know the war? The word war means debate. Before every war on the planet, there was war in the mind. There was war in the mind. And there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. It says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh and blood, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a beautiful verse. What a verse to describe actually what's happening in there. Where's the war? It's between the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex. But when you've surrendered this to God, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Number 5 is the law of adaptation. The science has only acknowledged in the last 15 years we have a changeable brain. It's called neuroplasticity, soft-wired. They thought our brain was hard-wired, but the Bible talked about our brain as soft-wired. It's found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed because of the law of adaptation. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare for thy soul, because of the law of adaptation. And because of the law of adaptation, our brain has the ability to grow and our brain has the ability to shrink. I'm going to give you a terrible growing scenario and a wonderful growing scenario. Have you heard the story of the fish that got away? What happens every time the story is told? The fish gets a bit bigger. When we've been through troublesome times, when we've had a history of heartache, the more we relate it, the bigger it can get. Doesn't mean you never relate it. There may be a time. I've related a couple of painful things this morning. But when it's told every day, every day, every day, that's when it can get bigger. And when it's negative, the thorns grow. And in the little book, Ministry of Healing, in the chapter Mind Cure, the author says, grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, all tend to break down the life forces and invite decay and death into the body. Isn't that incredible? That was written in the early 1900s, and now Dr. Carolyn Leaf in her book, Who Switched Off My Brain, she shows those thorns actually grow between the dendrites when we entertain or cherish, hold on to negativity. I don't want them growing in my brain. What's the wonderful growing scenario? We can rewire our brain right up until the day we die. That's what the research is showing in the book by neurologist Dr. Norman Doidge called The Brain That Changes Itself. He has story after story after story of how the brain can be rewired. And the lady that conquered her panic attacks, she rewired her brain. We can be rewiring our brain till the day we die. That's the good news. We've got 1 trillion brain cell. Each brain cell can develop 70,000 dendrites. I can hardly get my mind around that information. Okay, well, how do we grow new ones? Every time we learn something new, something new, something new. I think when my husband learnt to fly a helicopter 11 years ago, he grew a lot. Because he learnt to fly the Bell 47. and you're doing five different things at once, right foot, left hand, and your right hand's doing two things. It's a manual helicopter. His teacher said to him, I'm warning you, you're in your 50s, it's going to take a long time. He mastered it in the same amount of time that the 15-year-olds master it. You see, the teacher said, I've got two men in their 50s, one's up to 60 hours, one's up to 80 hours. They still haven't mastered it. Michael mastered it in 20 hours. How many 50-year-olds does he meet who access the sun, who drink adequate water, who go to bed early every night, who trust in God, who abstain from anything that will harm, who breathe in through their noses, who eat nourishing plant-based food, who do all the good things in moderation, who exercise every day? Because we have been given this gift, and it is ours to protect, to preserve, and develop. His teacher won't be teaching much longer. He drinks like a fish, and that's not water, that's alcohol. His brain will begin to deteriorate very soon. It's in 1998 that scientists discovered the brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And the brain-derived neurotrophic factor is a protein that stimulates neurogenesis. Does everyone understand what neurogenesis means? New brain cells. When the brain cell dies, it's gone. It does not regrow. But in 1998, they made a discovery. They discovered the release of brain-derived neurotrophic factor that stimulates neurogenesis, new brain cells. Praise be to God. So no matter if there has been physical damage, chemical damage, it can regrow. Under the right conditions, there are three shockers that will shock the brain into releasing brain-derived neurotrophic factor. One is finishing every hot shower with cold. And I can testify that your cold is cold. Number two, it's a shocker. Number two, the doctor's office is right next to where the hot and colds happen and we hear the screams. Number two, fasting. That's a shocker. Time-restricted eating is the most popular way to eat today and it's the best. Eating breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and tea like a pauper. A lady said, what do paupers eat? I said, sometimes nothing. That's an 18-hour fast every 24 hours. The third shocker is the high-intensity interval training. Intervals of 30 seconds high intensity, 90 seconds recovery for a cycle of 6. When you're at the peak of your 30 seconds high intensity, that's a shocker. You're breathing hard and fast. So a guest from a lifestyle center, is everyone feeling really smart right now? Because at Eden Valley's lifestyle center, the program our guests go through do all of that. So you're going to enjoy it even more next week, knowing that it's causing a release of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And as Ezekiel 36:36, the Bible says that the heathen that are left round about might know that I, the Lord God, build the ruined places. Did you hear that? He says, I, the Lord God, build the ruined places and plant again that which was desolate. For I, the Lord God, hath spoken it, and I will do it. Claim that verse. Claim that verse for damage anywhere in your body. Well, what's the terrible shrinking scenario? If you don't use your brain cells, you will lose them. Yes, alcohol kills them. Yes, many drugs kill them. Inactivity kills them. So it's not negotiable. We should be learning something new every day, no matter our age. What's the growing, shrinking scenario? When we forgive everyone who's ever hurt us in our life, ever abused us, there's no exception. Did you hear that? No matter what there's done, there's no exception. It doesn't make it right. There is a judgment day. Did you know when Jesus comes, there'll be a judgment day? And everyone will answer for what they've done. Unless you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. Ask him in and his blood will wash you white. Then you don't need to stand in that judgment. Isn't that wonderful news? Just forgive. Just make that decision today to forgive. Forgive anyone who's ever hurt you in your life. Just forgive. Forgive. And when you go to sleep tonight, ideally at 9 or 9:30, maybe 8:30, remember the early part of the night where the cleaning system happened? The cleaning system happens under the action of the glymphatic section. The glymphatic system is made up of glial cells and they are the brain's vacuum cleaners. So we give, forgive. We go to sleep early. The glial cells will come along and vacuum clean up all the thorns. Praise be to God for the physiological effect of forgiveness. No wonder when Peter said to Jesus, how often should we forgive 7 times? What was Jesus' answer? 70 times 7. Never ever stop. And the pathway to that memory will shrink. It'll never go away, but it need not be part of your daily life because you've forgiven. You've forgiven. You've forgiven. You've given it to God. And believe me, he'll deal with it. Leave it with him. Our job is to walk away. And that allows you to walk away. And the last law, the last mental law of the brain is the law of diversion. And when something's so firmly denied as to refuse any hope for it, the brain has the ability to divert to other pursuits. Don't you love that? What's the old saying? When God closes the door, he opens a window. And an Italian man said, no, Barbara. When God, we say, there's one door, he opens two. Have you found that? And so when a door was closed for me in July 2019, that I could no longer, I was forbidden to speak in Australia, I was forbidden to give any health advice. Do you know, all I've ever wanted was to help people. And all I wanted to do was help this mother and that mother. So when Michael said, Barbara, you'll be the health director, I said, no, I just want to be in the background helping mothers. He said, you'll be good. And he walked out of the room. So I became the reluctant health director. I wanted to help people, but I did not want to be in the front. But I got better at it. Practice makes perfect. And practice makes permanent. So in 2019, it was a shock that I was no longer able. If I was to give any health advice, $10,000 fine and 10 years in prison. I said, how can there be a crime when there's no victim? You could take it to the High Court, but you have to, the proceedings would begin at $500,000. So Michael said, you can retire or you can just go overseas. I said, I've never had so much information in my brain. I've never had so much experience. And I still feel as strong and as active as I felt when I was younger. I'll go overseas. And I can't appreciate, I don't know whether appreciate is the word, I can't get my mind around 11 million hits on one of my lectures on TikTok. What happens when God closes a door? He can open many doors. Trust him. What did he say? He said, I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. And will we become as invincible as Lennox? When you hold yourself with God, when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due season. Trust him. because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now unto him who is able to present you faultless. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his Father's glory with exceeding joy. Lennox believed that I would never let him fall. I didn't have that sort of faith. I was holding on for dear life. But he had total faith. Total faith. And it had been developed since a baby. It's time to develop a relationship with our Saviour. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for promising to hold our hand. Thank you for being the God that you are. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.